Well, it was up and down with the headlines for the Braves yesterday. One bright spot, though, was Ronald Acuña being named to the All-Star Game. This will be his fifth appearance in the All-Star Game. And it was kind of uncertain whether he was going to make it since this was kind of a comeback season for him.
Yeah, I think it was much-needed good news yesterday. And obviously, he's very thankful for it. Now, I think it was so important for me, since the game is here, to have Ronald Acuña on this roster and to be one of those guys that can represent the city of Atlanta, because he is the best player here. He is the face of that franchise right now. And I think it's going to be awesome for Braves fans to have that out on the field and be able to see that both in the game and in the home run derby. It's a good feeling.
Yeah, he can join the Dodgers and Mets that are on the starting lineup, essentially, with a Padre and a Cub thrown in there. Oh, a couple Cubs, actually. Pete Crow Armstrong. How about that guy?
He's just jumped
on the scene. You know what? It's cool because I'm hard on Braves Country on Twitter, because there's a lot of negative and a lot of ridiculousness and just a lot of ignorance. But this is the greatness of Braves Country, because it's huge. And I think we forget that, you talked about America's sweethearts, the Dallas Cowboys cheerleaders. Mm-hmm. They're America's team, or they claim to be in the NFL. The Braves really are America's team in baseball. TBS, the footprint that it had, and that people could watch this team in the heyday of the Braves in those 90s. And Ronald Acuña Jr. is one of the most popular players in baseball, whether the rest of the world likes it or not, and he's ours. So you hear that, Carlos Pena? I think it was Carlos Pena on MLB Network was like, well, the Braves need to see whatever they need to trade Ronald Acuña Jr. and get whatever they can. Now, he's ours, and he wants to be here. He said that yesterday. He was talking yesterday, and he was like, Atlanta is everything to me. I want to be here forever. I love this team, this organization. And we've lost Freddie Freeman. We've lost Max Fried. Freddie Freeman was, and we lost Dansby. Freeman was a guy I didn't think we could ever lose.
12 years he was here.
Mm-hmm. I'm not sure if this organization could lose Ronald Acuña Jr. And I know that it's not in the DNA of what we do to sign players long term, and it doesn't make sense right now because he's been injured twice in the last 4 years. However, if I'm Alex, I'm like, I'm going to the powers be, and then like, we cannot lose this guy. We have to sign him to a big deal. We have to sign him to a 10-year. Right now, he's, 25, 26, maybe?
Yeah. 25?
He might be 27. But we have to sign him to a long-term deal, and we have to do it now. Like, we can't mess around. I had to change my verbiage.
Well, and we were talking about a couple weeks ago, or maybe it was just last week, about different Braves that have gone off and worn different uniforms and how bizarre it is to see them. Could you imagine Ronald in any other uniform but a Braves uniform?
But it makes me sick to think about, because I know who spends money in this league and that would be willing to afford a guy like Ronald Acuña. And the thought of that happening with any of those teams that are popping in my head, I don't even want to say it out loud. It makes me sick.
Yeah, let's not put it in the universe.
Yeah, I don't need to put it out in the ethos. And you've seen who has signed guys to big contracts, gigantic contracts, over the last few years. And you can name them right down the list of – where Bryce Harper went, where Juan Soto went, where Shohei Ohtani went, and you're like, no thanks, I'm good. No,
there's actually
thank you.
Four teams. I'm not afraid to say them. It'll be the Dodgers, the Mets, the Yankees, or the Phillies. That's where he would go. And it would, that's why I'm saying, like, Freddie was the guy that most people love, but he wasn't, he forgive me for saying these things, but he wasn't like Mike Vick, Deion Sanders, like pop off, just transcendent as far as how everyone loves the energy and all the things that he brings. That's what Ronald Acuña Jr. is. And I say forgive me because, Deion did leave here and Michael Vick did leave, and you didn't win anything with those guys here. But that is the energy that he brings to an organization. It's different at a game when he's leading off. That's why you can't move him out. That's one of the reasons you don't leave him, move him.
We don't have to the lead off back into that conversation.
It's a different environment, a different energy, a different ballpark, atmosphere, whatever the word you want to use when he's there. And so he is 27, by the way. So if they sign him a 10-year deal, he'd be about 38. I don't know how that would be. Maybe figure out how to. Liberty's not going to do one of those deals either where they're like, we'll pay you $400 million, but you only get $100 of it up front, and we pay the rest, and, you know, Bobby Bonilla, you know, it's just not going to happen. Or now Freddie Freeman, now Shohei Ohtani. It's not going
to
happen.
Well, it ends with Ronald is saying he wants to be here, so let's keep him here. As far as the game last night, Braves did win 8-3 against the Angels. Jerickson Profar was back, went 2-for-4 with a solo home run. Sean Murphy hit a 3-run homer, and Matt Olson got a grand slam. But Matt was saying after the game, this streak that he's on right now is not going to affect his approach at the plate.
Yeah, I mean, I'm aware of it now, you know. week or so ago, probably not. You know, it's fun stuff for you guys to talk about, but it doesn't affect what we go and do out there.
Matt Olson's the Chase Elliott of the Atlanta Braves organization. It's just like that was the most Matt Olson clip ever. Yep, not going to affect me.
But I appreciate, though, that he's saying it's fun for us to talk about.
Sure.
But he's not paying attention
to it.
Well,
and he can't. And that's the bottom line. He can't pay attention to it because, like we were talking about analyzing things and looking at iPads, looking at film, there's a media side of that as well where you can't pay attention to the good things that are being said about you or the streaks that are going on. You just have to hyper-focus on what the next pitch is going to be and how you can, you know, keep your swing smooth. And we've talked a lot about how he starts to heat up in June, and Austin Riley is a July guy. And hopefully if we can get both those two guys to sync up and add in a little Yerkes and Profar and get Ronald Acuna back going, that maybe this offense can deliver in the month of July, and obviously off to a pretty good start.
Well, and this is my thing with the Olson haters, and it's why I get so frustrated when we talk about Freddie Freeman here. Like, you know, basically it's disrespectful because, you know, you look at and it's quieted down a little bit because Olson has been so hot, but you go look at his career numbers. And he's got right now his batting average is higher. His on-base percentage is almost 20 points higher. His slugging and his OPS are, I mean, like the slightest of slightly lower. But once again, this is a guy who averages 30 home runs a year, 100 RBIs, and last year he just missed it. He was 29 and 98. But the year before, and the 2 years before, he was 34, 103, 54. So he's right on track. I mean, he is just what he is. He's steady. He's a gold glove player. Yeah, he's boring. But, I mean, I think that the having a guy that's grounded is good. When you have a guy that's so up, like Ronnie, you do need a guy to ground you. And then you get guys in the middle.
Yeah, I will say, too, and I have to have this caveat in here, is that most of the I don't talk to many Matt Olson haters, and I know what you're going to say to that, but just follow me here. I think most of the people that talk about Matt Olson just simply talk about him in the light of Freddie Freeman should be here, and I don't think it's necessarily a Matt Olson hate. I think it's an attitude towards the Braves of why didn't we make this happen, and why didn't we make Freddie happen, and why is he now winning MVP awards and winning World Series with the Los Angeles Dodgers? It's not as much. To me, the lingering effects of the Matt Olson thing are not as much about Matt Olson as they are about the Atlanta Braves and the Freddie Freeman debacle. So, yeah, I mean, he's been great. There's no doubt about it, and I am a big fan. And I joked about the Chase Elliott thing just because it almost becomes comical at this point when you listen to Matt Olson give answers. You're not going to get a ton of entertaining insight. It's just not who he is, and I appreciate that about him because he does bring a calming effect to this team, no doubt.
Well, now I'm going to send you a clip of Matt Olson being funny and just to defend him. But in the reality, look, I think there is some truth to what you said. I don't believe it all truth, though, because I hear people talk about, well, his batting average is lower, and he doesn't do – Freddie does this. And I think people forget that Freddie was great here and phenomenal. He's a Hall of Fame player. He's the best first baseman in baseball. To that point, there's a real – you could make – and well, it's my point, so I don't get to do her. But to that, I think you can make a real case that Olson is number two. Do I think he's number two? No, I think he's probably three or four. But you can make an argument. You can make an argument with his numbers. Because he's a better glove than Bryce Harper, but Bryce Harper's a better bat. But Bryce Harper is also more of a Freddie Freeman. And if he had a better glove,
Alonso in there.
Yeah, Alonso I don't think is as good as a glove as Olson, and I don't think he's as consistent as we think. He's a big hitter, but he strikes out too, and he's also kind of a jerk, so whatever.
Well, and one question mark we did have going into last night's game is that Didier Fuentes, you know, he had only gotten to pitch in Miami and then New York. And so he finally got to start last night at home. And here is Brian Snicker on how his experience is just different every single time.
He did a lot better. You know, I mean, he just, it's going to be, I think every time he goes out there, it's going to be a new experience. I just kind of thought he got caught up and just launching the ball in the first inning. And he only had a couple strikeouts, but, you know, he kind of settled down and kind of pitched a little bit. And breaking ball wasn't too bad. He was throwing some changes that were up on the thing as splits. But, yeah, I mean, it's you know, I'd be real surprised if most of his starts aren't like that, quite honestly, as he's as young as he is and inexperienced and getting the feel for things.
It's all good points. I think what we need to mention about we always go back to Schwellenbach, like, well, he figured out like a month and a half in, right, mm-hmm. or a month in. He also had college baseball. And Schwellenbach's what, like 24? And I know that
25.
Schwellenbach is?
Mm-hmm.
That's quick. Doing your research on Schwellenbach.
I read it this morning.
and I know that he didn't start. He wasn't a starter, right, Mike? I get he was a reliever, but he still played and kind of matured and everything. Didier is 20.
Yeah, I was gonna say I'm not even 40. I'm 38 years old. I was graduating high school when he was born. And so you kind of got to keep that into perspective. Yeah, that'd make you sick. You got to keep that into perspective.
Dude, I was in college.
Don't do that to yourself. Don't map things out that way.
I should have been graduating college when he was born.
I know.
It's like, just, I said, should have.
But any, he's doing well. I can't wait to talk to Grant coming up in a little bit, because I do want to know what the immediate future is for him and what he thinks about Didier Fuentes so far through three starts.
I was really impressed and encouraged last night. I was about to tweet. He was literally like one strike away from me tweeting, "Thank Didier Fuentes, just grew up in that inning." And then base hit, pass ball, base hit. And I was like, glad I didn't even cue that one up.
Well, like Mike mentioned, we do have Grant McCauley coming up at 8:20 today, and we can ask him about Didier and the Braves and the season with all the news that was breaking yesterday. But coming up next, you know, we cover the hard topics here, guys. Where does the 4th of July rank holiday-wise? I have a feeling this is going to be a very heated debate, though. And we've also got an interesting NIL deal happening. That is next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and
the Odyssey app.